My name's Alex Webb. I'm here on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It's the 6th of September 2009. Could you please state your full name, your date of birth, and where you're from?
I'm David Lawrence Hodgson. I'm in my 60th year, and I'm from a little village called Holcott in Northamptonshire.
So where did you first hear about the project?
I think I heard about it on Radio 4. I think it may have been the Today programme. I'm not sure. And I thought, this sounds like a bit of lunacy.
Yeah.
And I got on, and sure enough, it is.
Yeah. So what inspired you to take part?
It's just something different. I haven't done this sort of thing. Very few of us have, I suppose. But I just thought it would be fun. I had no idea when I put my name down as to what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was comforted by the fact that I wasn't asked.
Yeah. So what do you plan to do on the planet?
I'm going to read all sorts of bits of popular English poetry. Children's stuff, comic stuff, a little serious stuff, the odd little bit of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be dressed in honour of the surroundings and the old boy on top of the column as Nelson in his full Admiral of the Fleet uniform.
So what was the choice for choosing to read poetry? Is that something that...
It's something I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I do a bit of amateur dramatics and I'm useless because I can't remember the lines. But when I've got it in front of me, it's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that poetry needs to be read very accurately. Otherwise, it's not like telling a story or doing what we're doing now, where you can make as many mistakes as you like and backtrack. With poetry, you've got to get it right.
Yeah.
I'm only anxious now that I will not be heard very clearly. I've got a megaphone system,
mm-hmm.
an amplifier system, but whether it's going to be good enough above all the traffic and the pigeons and the water, we'll see.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background and maybe where you're from?
I was born in Central Africa, what is now Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were missionaries. I came back and went to a very nice school in South London called Eltham College. Did all right there. Didn't do very well in further education particularly. Worked for a commercial company for 25 years, ran a pub for 5 years. And now I'm doing everything I possibly can to avoid getting another job, keeping my head above water.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what did you study before?
Crazily, I was going to be an architect, which I didn't want to be in the first place.
Okay.
Then my parents said, well, why don't you be a teacher like we are? So I didn't do that either.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into commerce and worked for a paper company,
okay.
which I enjoyed for 25 years.
Mm-hmm. And then the reasons for setting up a pub was you just wanted a total change in your life?
I needed something to do, and I bought my local pub,
okay.
which was a mixed blessing
mm-hmm.
for me and the customers.
Yeah.
But I still visit it.
Yeah. And now, but that's in the past, that you're not...
Yeah, I'm no ambitions to be a publican again.
Yeah.
You need to be a special sort of person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have two small properties which I maintain and rent out, and I do property management for other people.
Okay. And are you based in London?
No, in Northampton.
Oh, sorry.
Northamptonshire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who would you say you're doing this for, going on the planet?
Me.
Yeah.
But I have involved a small charity, to give me an excuse for wearing this uniform in the pub, on Friday night, we collected £90 for this little charity, which is justifies my existence.
What was the charity?
It is called the Brixworth Farm Nursery Care Trust, and they look after disabled and unfortunate children,
mm-hmm.
very locally, and they deserve our support.
So, is that in your local town?
It's between one village and the next.
Okay.
It's just in a little farm area.
And what would you say is most important in your life?
You say tricky. Getting through, trying to be reasonably kind to other people. As I say, earning a crust. I don't know. I can't say that there's anything desperately important. I'm sorry, I can't help you there.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Going back to the plinth. What are your hopes and fears for going out there and expectations?
My main fear is not being heard and having nobody there. But I'm very lucky in as much as it's going to be prime time, Sunday lunchtime, and hopefully we can get a crowd of people and they'll enjoy hearing some poetry.
Yeah. Do you write your own poetry as well?
No, I'm afraid not.
And so where does that love of poetry come from?
I don't know, my mother probably. She knew chunks of it off by heart. And we were taught well at school, and a lot of these things we did learn off by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can remember all of it now. And it's just, and also reading to my kids, all the A.A. Milne and stuff, and Captain Beaky and Jabberwock and all these sort of things that they loved. And my son of 23 still asks me to read King John's Christmas every now and again.
Yeah. you mentioned, so you do acting as well?
Very little, just a little village Amdram. We're doing a pantomime this year in January. It's a mixture of all the famous pantomimes, a scene from each, and it's shambolic at the moment, but
is that right?
Well, it'll be all right on the night, as they say.
Yeah.
And I've got one or two small parts in that, so that's all I do, really.
Yeah. That's something you like to do on the side.
Yeah, but I do, again, I get the occasional opportunity in pubs and mainly pubs to read poetry,
mm-hmm.
just from time to time, and that goes down well.
Have you ever been involved in an event in a kind of fine arts context before?
No, not really.
So and with Anthony Gormley, what do you think this project represents?
Well, I understand it's living sculpture, and the opportunity for 2,500 people or so to express themselves in any way they choose,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice original idea.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit of a fan of his, in as much as I think The Angel of the North is one of the great works of art of the whichever century you like. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I was always impressed by those figures standing on London buildings.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still there. I don't think they are. But I thought it was an extraordinary idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to meet the man, but maybe.
Maybe, yeah, pop in, hopefully.
Yeah.
what is the main thing you would say about yourself if you were to describe or even friends, if they were to describe
me? Gregarious. A nuisance.
Why do you say that?
Say what I think too easily. Indiscreet. But a reasonable cricketer and a poor golfer.
Okay, yeah. So can we talk about sports? So you're quite sporty then?
Yeah, I've played cricket all my life. And I still play most weeks. Either for the pub or a local village side or the county over 50s, which is, it's an achievement, if nothing else, to still be able to wield the bat at 60. But that's what I am. I play golf and getting better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game I didn't take up early enough.
Mm-hmm.
Rugby I packed up at 31, mm-hmm. and football I have no time for anymore.
But do you still watch?
No, I won't even read about football. I feel it's time it was cleaned up, and the money they earn is just ludicrous. It spoils the game, it spoils them, it spoils everybody involved.
Mm.
But that's another day.
Mm-hmm. So sports were always kind of quite a big part of your life?
Yeah, yeah. Cricket, rugby and golf. I still watch a lot and play what I can.
Mm-hmm. That's great. But like you said, so you haven't been in kind of involved in any kind of performance before or anything?
Nothing organised, nothing. Well, as I say, one of the local pubs has a celebration of St George's Day or Trafalgar Day, and I get dragged into to read a few bits and pieces for that,
mm-hmm.
some of which you may hear this afternoon.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the interview.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.